And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Carol J. Obley, Soul Visions LLC has been the bridge between heaven and earth in more than 10,000 group and individual readings. She has been the subject of newspaper articles, also has published articles on spiritual and metaphysical subjects, and taught numerous workshops at Lilydale, New York, the largest center for spiritualism. She has produced audio programs to help folks with spiritual development, teaches classes in intuition, mediumship, and healing. She was back with me in September of last year. She has a new book coming out called Wisdom from the Spirit World. Carol, welcome back. Hope you're doing okay.
Good evening, George. Thank you.
All well with you?
Yes. Yes.
Well, that's good. And you, this new book's coming out when, in June?
The official publication date is, I believe it's August 31st. It's currently available for pre-order on Amazon, but the official publishing date is, I think it's the end of August.
Sounds like it's going to be a good one.
You know what? This book is, it was probably the hardest for me to write because I was going through personal issues at the time, so this one was a little bit more difficult personally for me from what I was going through, but the information in it is amazing, and my intent in writing is always to help people, and that's my intent in everything that I do with mediumship and media appearances and so forth. So I think it is going to be a good one. It really breaks down what we are to learn from the spirit world. There's a lot of things focused in mediumship on the evidence that's given from those in spirit, and that's fine. I do a lot of that as well. But I think sometimes what gets missed, George, is what are we to do with that information?
Mm-hmm.
How can it help improve the quality of our lives? And how can we grow and possibly evolve from what mediumship has to offer?
And especially now. I mean, I've never sensed a time where people just need to grasp on to things like this than ever before, Carol. How about you?
That is 100% spot on. It's what I feel. We collectively are going through a reset at a fundamental level. And actually, and maybe we'll get into this a little bit later, but some of the readings I've been doing for clients recently have reflected that, where ancestors are coming through and talking about their tough times, their times, for example, during the Great Depression, things that they had to overcome, challenges in their lives. So it's even being reflected in the readings that I am doing personally, help from the other side, them knowing what we're going through.
You've got several books out, but the one that comes out in August, Wisdom from the Spirit World, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's I talk a lot in there. There's three sections, but I talk a lot about really, what are we doing here as far as...
Why are we here?
Why do we come... That's exactly it. Why do we come to Earth? Why do we come to this physical realm where there's suffering and there's pain and there's death and all illness and all this kind of thing, and I really delve into these things called the Akashic Files. The famous American psychic Edgar Cayce,
mm-hmm.
during the 1920s and 30s, spoke a lot about that. He also called it the Book of Life, and it's the sum total of what a soul has done from the beginning of time, whenever that was. So I delve into a lot of that and how we kind of pre-plan what we need to experience here, and that doesn't invalidate choice. And I also talk about the specific lessons that the other side has to teach us. And then in the last section, how we can merge our personality with our soul to offer a unique contribution to the world.
Carol, tell us about your work in intuition and your classes with that. That fascinates me.
Well, intuition is something that every person has. It's the voice of the higher self or the soul. There's a lot of things that you can call that. It's higher awareness, and it's coming from this thing that's called the soul, which is part of the divine or, you know, higher source. So the development of that, and incidentally, George, what I've discovered is that the biggest impediment to that in the years I've been teaching is a lack of trust. People do not trust their intuition.
Exactly. And they don't act on it then.
That is correct. And then they kick themselves and say, you know, I should have listened to that. So it's that still small voice within every human being that is sort of a roadmap and or a GPS and saying, you know, this is the direction that you want to go into.
Is it natural intuition or is it something a little more supernatural?
I feel it's very natural in my experience of about 25 years of doing this work. I feel that it is naturally there. You know, it's there for our protection. It's there for our navigation, if you will. That's why I call it a GPS. So it is natural, but it can be developed. And again, the biggest impediment that people have is a lack of trust. They think that they're making things up. So there's sort of a discernment that people have to have, you know, when they're gauging, is that really, you know, accurate or am I making that up? And when I teach, that's part of what I do.
Animals have this kind of instinct where it keeps them from falling into danger. They sense things. Would that be considered a natural part of intuition that they might have?
Yes, in fact, you and I must be on the same wavelength here because I was just going to mention animals, that they operate, that they live, that they exist through, you know, that inner prompting, if you want to call it that, and that's how they avoid a lot of things. That's absolutely correct. And I think they don't question it like we do because we've got this thing called the rational mind. Animals simply, they bring presence. They are in the moment. And that's why they have so much to offer
sure.
to us as human beings.
Well, we've got this saying with humans, would have, could have, should have. And, you know, that's like not acting on your intuition or your gut instincts.
Exactly. It's interesting that you mentioned that phrase, because in my third book, I have a chapter by that name. And it's people who, I hear this quite frequently, you know, with the people who are grieving somebody. They second guess, you know, the death. They second guess what could have been done differently. What could have been done medically? What should I have done to, you know, make life better for my loved one?
Yeah.
So that's quite common.
And some people, Carol, beat themselves up as well because they say, had I done this, maybe this wouldn't have happened to this person I cared about or this job that I lost or whatever.
Precisely. And that's something that people can carry for a long, long time. And it's really what I term false guilt, because true guilt is if we've legitimately wronged somebody. We know it's wrong, and we go ahead and do it anyway. But false guilt is something that I've dealt a lot with in my career as being a medium, that people hold that, and then they beat themselves up and continually replay it after their loved one has passed. And it keeps them stuck, and so they don't really evolve and process the grief.
Now, with the readings you've done more than 10,000 readings. Give us some highlights, some memorable ones for you.
Oh, my gosh. Well, this is really cool. There was a client actually out your way. And, of course, I know nothing about people before I read for them. Long story short, her significant other had passed. This gentleman was an atheist when he was here.
Hmm.
This came through in the session without her saying anything. He came through to me. I felt him to be extremely rational. And he was not the type of guy who would have come to someone like me. And so I relayed this to her. And she says, that's absolutely correct. And, so the reading progresses. And he says, here's a message for her. I want to tell her that there is an afterlife. And she said, you know, that's really funny. And as soon as I hear that's funny, I know that the message is dead on, because she said, we always used to argue about that. And I would tell him, no, there is something beyond physical life. And he would always say, no, you know, that there isn't. So during the reading, he came through and essentially admitted that he had been wrong in life.
I love that.
And so it was quite fascinating. In fact, that's one of the stories that I feature in Wisdom from the Spirit World. There have been readings in which people talk about hovering above their bodies. They sometimes describe the scene. I will relay that to the sitter or the receiver of the reading, and they'll validate it. Yes, you know, this is what happened. One reading I did with a whole family came, and they had lost their 22-year-old son in a car accident. He passed instantaneously. He came through and gave the name of the individual who found him.
Wow.
On the side of the road, came upon this horrible accident. And so that was passed on. And the parents, you know, of course, gasped. And then he came through and promptly began to tell them how he communicated with them. So these things called ADCs, or after-death communications, that term first coined by Bill and Judy Guggenheim in their book, Hello from Heaven. And so it's, you know, communication without the use of a medium. For example, this young guy used to produce images on the TV screen. And he would turn the screen blue.
Mm-hmm.
He would make impressions on the answering machine. He would do all kinds of phenomena like that. And all of this was verified. So that was quite an interesting reading, particularly with proving the continuity of consciousness.
He really wanted to communicate, didn't he?
He did. And, you know, I find that that's very common, George, when young people pass. Another thing that there's been a huge influx with that it has, in my practice, has been opioid addiction deaths.
Yes.
And that's been a real epidemic, and I wrote about it extensively in the new book. And there's been spirits that have come through, and they talk about their mental and emotional state, what was going on prior to the overdose. And sometimes they'll actually talk about it, and I found this quite fascinating, the recovery that they go through on the other side. And they'll describe that, and they'll talk about being wrapped in light, different frequencies of light for healing, and also going through the life review, that whole process, which a lot of your listeners have probably read in books, and I can tell you that it is absolutely true. We do get a review of life, and more importantly, the karma, or the cause and effect that our life had, and also the specific lessons that we came here to learn. So some of them come in and relay that as well. So there's been so many things, as you can well imagine, in that many readings.
Do you think some of those who die of things like prescription overdoses, is there regret on the other side? Do they think, oh my gosh, I made this horrible mistake? How do they feel?
Yeah, I, honestly, and I've done a good many of readings of parents who have lost children. And I just did one today, as a matter of fact, and also suicides. I have never communicated with a soul who has taken their own life or something like an overdose that was not intentional, in which the communicating spirit was happy about it. Has never happened. And I usually, you know, there's usually a lot of regrets. There's usually a lot of looking back and a lot of regrets about that sort of thing.
Oh.
And I've never spoken with one in many, many readings that says, gee whiz, I'm really happy, you know, that I ended my life and I came over here. Most of them talk about unfinished business.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them retain a foot in the physical world and a foot in the spiritual world because they really haven't finished their natural lifespan here. So it's kind of a peculiar situation, but I've seen that to be true.
Carol, when you talk about soul maps and karmic lessons, what are they?
Well, the soul maps are, again, something that, you know, we all have. And what it is pre-planning. So in other words, in a spiritual state, and it's quite difficult to understand what that truly is, but in the spiritual consciousness, we sort of plan or do an outline or a blueprint of what we're going to experience when we're here. And so that's a soul map. In other words, it's kind of encoded in us and it gives direction. And so it's an unconscious knowing. And we're pulled to certain people, certain circumstances, certain places, events, when those codes are activated. And that's what I call a soul map. Now, the karmic lessons, of course, are things that we have agreed to learn, that we know that we have to learn for our continued spiritual evolution. And most people are really remain unaware of that sort of thing. If you look at an astrological natal chart, you can see some of the soul maps by the placement of the planets. And also you can see a lot about karma if you look at a natal birth chart. Other than that, sometimes people who are intuitive have a knowing. I know that I'm supposed to be doing this.
Right.
I know that I'm being pulled, you know, in this certain direction. When I first took some of my mediumship training, I remember making this statement to my friend at the time. I said, I must do this. And she looked at me and she goes, okay, I guess you have to do this.
But did you follow that guideline?
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes. And I had no idea. If somebody would have told me when I was much younger that I would be doing this sort of work and I would be doing, you know, interviews such as the one I'm doing with you, I would be writing books, I would be doing readings, I would be teaching workshops, I would have thought they were absolutely incredible.
Carol, stay with us. We'll take a break, but we'll come back and talk more about your work, including wisdom from the spirit world. And welcome back. George Norrie with you along with Carol Obley as we're talking about her latest work. Her websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com, soulvisions.net. She's also got a Facebook, which we've also got for you. So, Carol, you were talking about how you never would have imagined being in this field that you're in now. What was it that got you in it in the first place?
Well, I believe that I was born with an ability to be a conduit or, you know, be a medium. But just like any other talent that a person is born with, it has to be nurtured. And so I, you know, underwent a lot of training. I believe I've done this in prior lifetimes. I know that I've done it in prior lifetimes. This was another opportunity to evolve spiritually for me and also to help other people. So, you know, I think that, again, these sorts of things are kind of encoded in us that we have certain plans. What really got me into it, though, and I spoke about this when I was on the show last year, was I got burned out of a business that I was running. I had a fire,
mm-hmm.
and I was kind of left directionless in life. I had no idea what I was going to do, and that I had sort of an intervention. You've heard of interventions. This was a spiritual intervention. A friend told me to go, you know, to a certain metaphysical church and, you know, get training and so forth and so on. So that's what really opened up the pathway for me. Otherwise, I probably would have floundered around, because I think the fire was really a way of taking me completely off the pathway I was on and setting me firmly down on this one, even though I didn't know it at the time.
Fate works in strange ways.
It certainly does.
Now, you've talked about the Akashic Records quite extensively in your work. Dr. Bruce Goldberg talks about them as well. Are they basically a repository of our life? What are they to you?
Yeah, they are energetic records or energetic codes. You know, our English language is woefully inadequate sometimes to really convey what this all means. So the best that I can do using language is to say that they are energetic codes that are attached to the soul being energy, and, you know, in between lifetimes and throughout physical life, you know, in the spirit world, that's always with us, these energetic codes. So really what they are records of all the experiences that the soul has had, both here on the physical plane in 3D reality, and then also, you know, in non-physical reality. One of the things that Casey wrote a lot about in his, you know, in his books or in his channeled readings, and he had other entities come in there. You know, he was actually doing trance channeling. He left his body. They talked about souls sometimes spending time on other planets. So all of that is recorded in these things called the files. The soul never loses any experience. And that's why you can go into, you know, your subconscious and retrieve any memory that you've had, even from prior incarnations.
And Carol, these records, can we alter them? Can we change them before we get there?
I believe that we can reframe our reaction or our experience of them. I think the imprint is always there, but it's possible to reframe it. So, for example, if something is painful or negative, we can reframe our reaction to it. And that's part of, you know, wisdom that's come from the spirit world, is the power of choice. We all have the power of choice, and that those choices determine the quality of our lives. And that is something that I have, you know, I included that in what do we learn? You know, what's this all about? What does spirit have to tell us? That's a very profound lesson, is to use the gift of choice wisely.
You have talked about how forgiveness is so important. And I want to get your views on that. I've got some thoughts on that I want to get your take on. But why is it so vital?
Well, first off, forgiveness simply means a release of the past. I think a lot of people misunderstand what forgiveness really is. And I think a lot of people misinterpreted to think, well, that means that I just okay what was done. I'm making it okay in my mind, mm-hmm. and it's not really okay.
Somebody kills somebody in my family, I have to forgive them. That's not
correct.
What it is. Okay.
Correct. But the true meaning of forgiveness is simply a release of the past. And so I write about it, and in my previous books I've written about it as well, that it's the cornerstone of healing. And what really is healing? It's a remembrance of our own divine identity. You know, we come here, we take on the personality, and we take on a rational mind, and we forget at our core who we really are. Forgiveness opens the door, opens the window, gives us the opportunity to remember who we are without the baggage of the past. And it is central, it is absolutely foundational to moving beyond pain, suffering, resentment, anger, fear, all of that.
And then, of course, back to forgiveness again, it doesn't necessarily mean then that you do forget the killer.
I don't believe it does. I've done a lot of studying of the famous text, A Course in Miracles, which is a channeled text. And the biggest thing that that text focuses on is forgiveness. And so what it really means, you know, and I believe this, is to be here now, to be in the present moment. If we carry baggage around, that prevents us from really shining the brightest that we can. You know, we can kind of dim our light. You've heard that expression.
Mm-hmm.
So forgiveness is something that we all have to engage in. But yes, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean, well, okay, you know, I was abused when I was a kid. I'm just going to say, hey, it's okay, everybody. You know, I'm fine and dandy. What it means is that you choose, you make a conscious choice to not be a victim of that circumstance any longer.
And for those who do not forgive, what happens?
Well, again, it's sort of a covering over this thing called the soul. And the soul is the light. You've heard it referred that, and you know, for eons, humans have referred to the light of God, the light of spirit. You know, forgiveness allows that light to shine more brightly because it's not obscured. It's not obscured by the past. And unless we're here now, we're either in the past. A lot of people spend time in the past. Or they, you know, they spend time in the future and develop anxiety. So they're not here in the moment. So forgiveness really is about being here in the moment where your true power is. Everybody's power is not in the past. It's not in the future because all we have is right here, right now.
You've talked about how love is so important in all of this. Tell me why.
Because it's indestructible. The bond of love is 100% indestructible by any means, and that includes death. This I have seen through 10,000 plus readings that I've done for people, especially the mediumship readings. I do life guidance type readings or life readings for people in which I talk about the Akashic Files and so forth, but when it's a connection between two souls, that bond of love is what is really accentuated and what is meaningful. And I think, I know that what I've observed is that that is the great healer for people to understand that the connection goes on and that it cannot be destroyed by death. And love is the glue. It's the glue, and I'm not speaking about romantic type of love,
right,
or, you know, what we see in the movies.
It's in the heart.
It's the very essence of what holds the universe together. That's really what love is. And it's very hard for our little minds to really grasp.
Would you call it kindness, compassion as well?
I would. And
yeah.
Those qualities, George, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because those are what I call soul qualities, S-O-U-L, soul qualities. They naturally emanate from the depth of the soul when it's shining to its true capacity. And so those are the things that we're going to take with us. Compassion, service. All we really take are love and service. That's really all we take when we go back into our natural home, which is the spirit world.
Not that we need a reward on the other side, but by living that way in this life, what happens to us in the spirit world that wouldn't have happened had we not lived this way, kindness and compassionate?
Yes. Well, we earn a home in
do we get a better seat in the heaven,
yeah,
theater?
In the stadium, yes.
Yeah.
So what really happens is, yeah, the majority of people are good and decent people, and they go to what's called kind of the mid-planes of the spirit world. There are many levels of consciousness in the spirit world. The lower ones that are closer in vibration, if you will, to the earth plane are denser. That's where you would have, like, you know, your serial killer, someone who lived very selfishly or self-centered, from a self-centered perspective, people that engaged in taking advantage of others. There has to be an ascension process on the other side. So, you know, living with the soul qualities, expressing them without reserve. And I think that right now, with the opportunity we have, we can all do this. In fact, I think that's what it's about, really. And to heal the division, you know, that has been here.
It's massive.
The more that we're able to do that, you know, we do earn a spot. And it's for our own evolution. And every time we do that, we also uplift. Every time we express those qualities, we also uplift the rest of humanity.
Do you remember, Carol, the first time spirit came to you?
You mean personally, in my personal life, or with...
In general, just the first time you had that encounter where you realized, oh my gosh, you know, this is happening to me.
Yes. Well, there's a couple of them. One of them was an extraordinary dream, and I call them dream visitations, from my grandmother. My grandmother passed in the late 70s. I loved her dearly. She loved me. I was her only granddaughter. She came through, and there was not a shadow of a doubt that she was there. She did not say anything to me during the visitation. It was all telepathic. And it's interesting, George, because you just asked a few seconds ago about the power of love.
Mm-hmm.
During that connection with her, I felt such intense love for my grandmother.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
That I could never, ever. I woke up, tears are streaming. I mean, this was so real. And there was that connection. It was like she had never left. And, you know, I was in college at the time, way back in 1977, when she passed. And then when that happened, it gave me a great validation. And I thought to myself, you know, there really is something to this. I had already been doing readings, but there was a part of me that was myself somewhat skeptical. Like, where is this information coming from? You know, am I reading somebody's mind? Is it really coming from a soul, you know, that's disembodied? So the dream with my grandmother was really a wow moment. Also, I've had experiences where beloved pets have come to me in dreams, and they were very real. They were there visiting, and I could feel their, you know, their personality, their presence with me, and their dogs that I've had that came through to me. And again, it was love that was expressed. That's what I remember from those encounters.
I would guess that you do not have anything of demonic spirits trying to get to you or attach you just because of your ability and your goodness. Is that a pretty good guess?
Well, I think you're intuitive. Yes, but I have had some instances with that sort of thing, but nothing that is evil, no. And, you know, I've done many, many media appearances with radio, and I'm commonly asked that question, and people say, how do you know, that you, you know, who's talking to you is not, you know, the devil or whatever? And it's because I don't put that out. I don't mm-hmm. function on that energy.
It doesn't come your way.
My intent is always for healing.
That's great. Carol, we'll be back with you in just a moment. We're going to take phone calls with Carol. Questions, of course, and also if it's about your situation, this is what we need. Your birth month, day, and year, a specific question, not something general. It's got to be very specific and not related to health issues because she doesn't go there. So your birth month, day, and year, specific question, not health-related, or just a question about the other side. Your call's next on Coast to Coast AM.